All right, this is the last in our series on Growth 101, and the class will be continuing, so this is not the end of the class. As I said, the next class time is next Sunday after worship in the library. So this morning, as we end this series, we're going to explore what it means to be the church, to be the people that are called together, and not just on Sunday mornings, but all week long. And in fact, for all eternity. All right? So let's listen to these words from 1 Corinthians 12. This is page 1170 in your Pew Bible, verses 12 through 27. And let's see. I will read this, and we'll see. And if you'd like to read along, go for it. Let's listen to these words and what the Spirit is saying to us at the church. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. God's Word. All right, you're going to need to bear with me this morning, and this has been a full week for me, rough week, in that, let's see, I have three children. And a wife, and let's see, that's three, four. That's four of our five members right there that are on their back, laid out. So this week I've been, dad, I've been nurse, doctor, caretaker, caregiver, whatever. I don't know what to say. But anyway, so it's been a rough week. And so my sermon preparation has just gone down the tubes this week, let me say that right off the bat. So, and yet, in serving my family members, there are times when we're called. We're called in a way that, we might think of as an interruption. But that Jesus, when he walked around, he didn't say, you're interrupting me. I got important business to do. The woman with the, that comes out and touches the hem of his garment and says, you're interrupting me. Get away from me. I've got bigger business. No, never said that. So let's bear together and see what we can do. So this morning, I want to explore that we are the church. What does it mean to be the church? And I want to explore four lies about what it means to be following Jesus and being the church. Four lies. And then in doing this, that we might clear out the way for the truth of who we are as a people called by God. All right? So the first lie is church is where we go. Church is where we go, all right? Now, I want to say, first off, that there are amazing things that happen, mysterious, powerful things that happen, beyond what I could even think or imagine or know that happens through the course of worship time as we gather on Sunday, or during the course of time that we share together in friendship or fellowship, as we say, like a deacon tea or a small group, Bible study before worship. Doesn't matter. Those are profound, powerful moments. And yet, church is where we go, is a lie. All right? Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4, and this is where Paul is comparing these spiritual gifts, the spiritual gift of speaking in tongues and of prophesying. All right? So he's comparing these two, and he's going to show his own favoritism. But let's listen and see what he says. So anyone who speaks in tongues edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. All right? What does Paul like? Does he like speaking in tongues more or prophesying for the church? Prophesying, yeah. And notice he says, so prophesying edifies the church. And I don't know about you, but maybe you're one of those building whisperers, and you know that when someone prophesies, you sense the building is enlightened, or is helped, or is built up, is more mature. The building becomes more like Christ. But in fact, is that the case? No. So Paul is saying that we are the church. We are the church. Now, let me tell you, we all make this mistake, and it comes through many years of training that we have. And so, honey, you going to church today? All right? We all say that. We all say, I'm going to church. We've got a meeting. I've got to go to church. All right? I'm going to worship this morning. I'm going to go to the church. And so it's something that we're really trained to say. And what we say shapes who we see ourselves as. If I keep saying I'm an idiot, well, guess what? I'm going to become sort of an idiot, aren't I? All right? Let's not all start that pattern, right? All right. So we don't go to the church, we are the church. C.S. Lewis said that you don't have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. All right, let me say that again. C.S. Lewis is a Christian writer, says, you do not have a soul, you are a soul. You have a body. And in the same way, we don't have a church, we are the church. And we have a church building. Praise God that we have a beautiful sanctuary, beautiful campus. And those who are gifted and taken care of, right? Okay, so who are we? We're the church. All right? Do you agree over here? Are we the church? We are the church. All right. Okay, so we're the church. So the second line is being the church is optional. Being the church is optional, and I opt out. Okay? Being the church is optional, and I opt out. Or I can opt out if I want to. There's an author, Anne Rice, who said something to the effect of, I am in Christ, But I am not a Christian. Okay? I hate what it does. Let me pull it out. Let me find this quote. It's Anne Rice's comment. I remain committed to Christ as always, but not to being Christian or being a part of Christianity. It's simply impossible for me to belong to this quarrelsome group. In the name of Christ, I quit Christianity and being Christian. Amen, she says. All right? So she's saying, I remain committed to Christ, but not to being a Christian. In effect, she's saying, I opt out. Now, you and I may have had experiences where we've been profoundly hurt or misunderstood, maybe, by the church. And I think the church owes you an apology in those times where you've been hurt, in those times where you've been misunderstood or not heard, or where you felt afraid to come and join the worship time or to come and be part of the church because you felt you'd be looked down upon. And so the church owes an apology. And while I'm not the whole church, one person, a pastor, I'd like to pray and I'd like to say we're sorry. We are so very sorry for the pain and hurt that we may have caused, that we did cause. When you've been hurt, when you've been let down, where you've been misunderstood, where you've been shouted down, or where you've been denied the whole way of God, we're sorry. And we repent of our sins. And we turn anew to the way of God. And we invite you to join us on a journey. Because if you receive Christ, then you've received his body. You can't be his finger and not be part of the body. You can't be a hand and not be part of the body. You can't be a foot and not be part of the body. So whether you are in or out, whether you declare yourself in the church or not in the church, you are the church when you say that Christ is your Lord and Savior. All right? And that's the truth. The truth is that we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice about whether we're part of the church when we are baptized and when we receive Christ. We don't have a choice. We're in. And it also means two things. First is we have reason for comfort in knowing that we are the church and in knowing that we're part of the church and that ugly and warts and everything at all, that God is doing something with us and through us. It isn't how perfect we are, but how perfect he is and the ways that he'll use us in the days ahead. And we can take great comfort in knowing we are the church, because think about this, if we are the church, we are the very body of the very one whose life was taken for us, that our slate is wiped clean, that we have forever our membership and connection with God and his family. And we can take great comfort in knowing that there's a resource, there's the people of the church who can bring us comfort, reassurance, healing, forgiveness, a sense of lifting us up when we're down, a sense of encouragement when we have a challenge, a sense of celebration when we're healed, and power when we're confronted with evil. So being the church, if you accept Christ, you're it. You're the body. You are, we are the church. And this is news, not, you know, we're here, but there are many who aren't here, who say that they follow Jesus or they accept Christ into their lives. And it may be a gift that we might bring is to say, we love you. And you know what? Even if I hadn't seen you in 2 years, I want you to know that I love you and that God loves you and that you're part of his body. Won't you come and be part of a small group we're starting for healing Christians? Okay? So the third lie is I'm better off on my own. I'm better off on my own. I can dabble in Christ. I can dabble in things spiritual and go my own path, and I'm better off. I don't have to get up early. I don't have to come to church. I don't have to go to meetings. I won't have anybody coming up to me and asking me if I would serve. And actually, if you serve, it's exciting, powerful, if once you do it. But before you do it, it's scary. So I'm better off on my own. And the truth is, in Paul, he says in the passage, so if you're at high and you say, I want nothing to do with the hand, you're still part of the body. So you can kid yourself and say that I'm better off with my home. But the truth is that we're designed to be part of this community of unity together. We're designed to be who God put us on the planet to be, this community, imperfect as we are, going day by day trying to seek out God's grace and gift. The fourth lie is that they're better off without me. All right? They're better off without me. And the truth is that the church is going to be better off because you're part of it. The church is better off because you're involved. The church is better off because you come to worship. The church is better off because you step in and serve. The church is better off because you say what you think. The church is better off because you read the Bible and share what God's wisdom is given to you with others. The church is better off. And now that we've cleared away the lies, we might be ready for the truth. We are the church. We don't have a choice in being part of the body. And if we go on the journey, it's going to be powerful. Painful maybe, but powerful. And the church is going to be better off because you're part of it. Because of each one of us, part of it. Let's be the church.